I was coming here on a Sunday night. I was like, well, all right. Yeah. Romans chapter 12 is where we're going to be. If you took the youth on this trip to D.C., please stand. Let's give these guys a round of applause. Thank you, guys. Like Scott said, they'll remember this the rest of their lives. And we appreciate you taking. I know you're tired, and I know you've been through a lot, but guess what? We're going to preach a little bit, and we're going to baptize Aiden tonight. You know why we're baptizing people? It's because people are getting saved. Amen? That's the only reason we baptize around here. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. That's where we're going to be. I hope this will be a blessing to you. You had an awesome service. You ever heard God's, some people were doing business with God? I've heard my whole life coming up in the church. Somebody will say, how was church? They said, man, people did business with God. Today, I think God was doing business with us. Amen? There's a lot of people walking out here saying, hey, that helped me. You know what I'm saying? And it helped me a lot too. But I'm going to challenge you tonight. Everyone, I think about Independence Day or when we come up to the 4th of July, I think about the Constitution. That's what makes us a great country. Amen? Our forefathers had enough foresight to lay down a constitution that was stronger than people's ideas or feelings. Amen? Ideas or feelings. So then if we look in Romans chapter 12, Romans is a book, a lot of people call it the New Testament Constitution. Amen? Because guess what? Paul wrote this to the Romans, who were a lot like us as a nation, but even kind of worse. They came into Rome when there was no Jesus. There was no church. And they had worshiped the gods. But Paul came in and turned a nation like Rome, who was owning like three quarters of the world. Now, y'all, it ain't as impressive until you look at it as a globe. They ran three quarters of the world. And Paul helped establish the church in Rome, not the Catholic Church, but the church. Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Jesus Christ dying for your sins. And it began to erode away at the belief in gods and false idols and all this wickedness. And there was a church. Man, I wish I could get a hold of this. That there was a church planted in Rome. And they were like, who is this upstart church? Just like us today in America, we got tons of power. We just don't utilize the power like we should. But Romans chapter 12 tells us kind of how to utilize the power we have as individual believers. Y'all ready? I hope this challenges you because it challenges me every time I do this message, every time I get into this part of the book. I beseech you therefore, brethren, Paul's begging Christians, begging them. I beg you, amen? That's what Paul's saying. I'm begging you to do this. I beseech you therefore, brethren, that means people that are in Christ Jesus, people that have been born again, by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That is your spiritual service. God says, you know what He wants you to do? He wants you to give your whole life to Him. That is a reasonable thing for God to ask. Because He gave you His whole sacrifice unto death. So what God is asking you to do is to give your life, your living sacrifice, back to Him your whole life. Do you know you can't give a sacrifice unless you give the whole thing? Amen? Until you put the whole thing on the altar. God don't want just your sin. Well, a lot of times we bring all of our negative to God. Our troubles, our pains, our heartaches, our troubles when we get caught, when we're taking the brunt of our own situation, when we're sick, when we're dying. But guess what? God doesn't want that. He wants our living. He wants the good. He'll take the bad. He'll take the broken. He'll take the sin. But He wants your good. He wants your smile. Oh, never mind. He wants your good times. Can I want to preach this so much because some of us, you're looking at me like I'm crazy, but he wants your fun times. That's the problem with most time in the church. Christians are not looked at as people who have fun because we make everything so you can't and you can, you can't and you can. It blows people away when Christians are having fun doing something that everybody else does. We just do it a little different. Amen, preacher. You're preaching good. We really enjoy this. You preach your guts out in the morning. We preach, God, love that evening service too. Y'all help me. It's good. Amen. When somebody sees you out four-wheeling, playing ball, sweating, hitting golf balls, I don't care what, hunting, whatever it is, when they see you and they come up to you and say, man, you did great doing this. Yeah, I do great, but guess what? This ain't my main thing. My main thing's serving God. It'll blow their mind. You mean you can be out on the ball field and love Jesus? Better be. Amen. You mean you can be up at a hunting stand and love Jesus? You better be. Amen. You hearing me? You be out. Oh, gosh, I got to get on y'all's level. Does anybody in here drive those four-wheelers and side-by-sides? I know you do. It's good when you pull up beside somebody and they're drinking cold beer and cursing and going on. I know that happens. Don't look at me like I said cold beer in church. You don't know what I'm talking about. And you pull up beside them and they say, hey, man, you want one? You say, no, I don't need one of those. I got Jesus in my life. I like running these same trails, climbing the same stuff you do, having the same fun you do. But I get my high with Jesus. Amen. I have my fun, and tomorrow when I wake up, I'll have a little more money in my pocket. I still have my wife, still have my kids, still have my job, still have my side-by-side, and my four-wheeler. Praise God. Does it make more sense to you now? Does it make more sense? Because y'all was looking so stuffy before. Y'all like, oh, I can't believe the preacher says. And then you go out of here and talk about crazier stuff than I'll ever come up with in here. Amen? God wants your whole life. He wants your smile. He wants your happiness. He wants your encouragement. He wants to see you live like somebody who's saved in a world that's lost. He still likes your... He gave you a certain passion for certain things. That way when you get around lost people, they can see your passion and see your sacrifice unto God and then want to be like you. You make them thirsty for Jesus. I want to make people thirsty for Jesus. I don't want to tell them they have to go to church. I want them to get to the point to say, I'm thirsty for what you got. Do you do that to people? Do you make them so thirsty or you just make them mad? Huh? Boy, we got quiet now. We went from here to here. Because every time you come around, you just tell them how bad they are. Instead of saying, you know what? I enjoy that too, but can enjoy it on another level. And that's good stuff. God just don't want you negative. We love to give God our negative. Man, I listen to my prayer life sometimes, and I believe, I said, man, I wouldn't answer my prayers. Oh, I'm sorry, you spiritual giants in here, I forgot. I wouldn't answer some of my prayers because the only time I talk to God is when I'm in need. Oh, God, help me. I'm so sick. Oh, God, somebody else is hurt. Oh, God, guess what? I just got bad news. God, help. God's like, when have you picked up the phone to call me just to say I love you? Hey, thank you for that air. Thank you for that old heart pumper pumping along. Thank you for some brain waves. One or two. Thank you for something running across there, making sense, amen? You know what I'm saying? Every once in a while, God would enjoy it if you just call Him like you do your parents every once in a while and say, hey, Dad, hey, Mom, I love you just for you being you. When they wake up from being passed out, tell them you love them again. Never mind. I'm just calling to tell you I love you, Daddy. Just pass out. Mama, pick up the phone. What are you doing? What do you want? I just love you, Mama. Her passed out. Right? You don't need anything. You ain't in an emergency. That's how God is. He wants your whole life. We want to give him the leftovers, and we want to give him the stuff that nobody just wants. I want to give him the best years of my life. I want to give him my energy, my passion, my desire. I want to give him my joy. Don't you? If you don't, there's something wrong. And man, you wouldn't even pick up the phone call for somebody who always called you with something negative. Man, I was going to be a little bit further down the road. I wasn't going to keep you long tonight. And be not conformed. I like this next verse. We've been preaching on it the last two services. If you hadn't picked up on this underlying current, here it is again. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Guess what? God is not trying to change your heart. He's trying to change your mind. And what you feast on is what you're going to drive on. What you fuel on is what you'll drive on. You might want to write that down. It'd be a good bumper sticker for somebody. What you fuel on is what you'll drive on. Amen? So whatever you're putting in your mind and your eyes and your ears and your mouth and your nose, guess what? That's the stuff you're going to be driving on. Some of you got to... Your compass for God is so out of whack because you don't ever talk to God. You don't ever listen to God. You don't focus on godly things. And you wonder why you're out in the wilderness, because you're being conformed or changed constantly to what the world would have you to be instead of what God would have you to be. Man, that's some pretty good preaching, guy. Amen, preacher. Amen, preacher. Thank you, preacher. Sorry, I'm amen of myself. You ever get sideways with you? I'm thinking about this. I'm telling you, some of us say, I don't know what God wants me to do. Well, pray. When's the last time you got in this book for an hour? When's the last time you prayed for an hour? When's the last time you come to church on a regular basis and said, God, I'll plug into you and I'll get off 101. I'm sorry. Did I say that correctly? Well, I like that good music. Listen, I ain't gonna wrestle around with you about music, but let me tell you something. If it's about sleeping around, drinking all the time, running around with other people, guess what? I wonder why you're confused and wonder why you have such issues in your life. Oh, I'm sorry. Some of y'all said, well, I just listen to KZ106. It ain't that bad. It's old hip-hop rock and stuff. You know, hey, guess what? It ain't hip-hop and it ain't rock. It's rock and roll. Amen? I'm sorry about that. Oh, man, I shouldn't have preached on music. I'm looking around right now, and people look at me going like, yeah, you done, son. Stick a fork in him, he's over. Spend some time with God. Change your radio station every once in a while to something that's glorifying and lifting up God. Amen? You know what? You might find yourself driven somewhere else, sent somewhere else, exposed to something else. You're way broom, Kevin, I used to like you, man, before you started preaching on all my music stuff. Well, I'm not here for you to like me. Matter of fact, it makes me worried most of the time, because most of you do like me, and I'm wondering what I'm doing wrong that you like me so much. I'd rather you leave here sometimes ticked off and mad at me because I told you that there was something in your life. You're being conformed, because if you listen to what the world listens to, watch what the world watches, pay attention to what the world's paying attention to, you're going to do like the world's doing, and the next thing you know, you're going to say, Why didn't God give me some direction? Well, if you don't ever hear Him, some of y'all need to unplug. It's a whole nother. Oh, Kevin's just in here wearing it out tonight. Some of you need to take the headphones out and off and listen to God. Just listen, because He comes in a still, small voice and He can't get over the bass in your ears. Uh-oh. He got on every genre too. He didn't let us up. Amen? I'm going there, so don't worry. I'll be here for a moment. Some of y'all need to disconnect from your phone. Some of you won't even drive down the highway without taking your eyes off of your phone. You don't even care about your own personal safety, more or less somebody else. That's an addiction. Put the thing in the floor. Put it in the console and listen to God sometimes. Oh, goodness gracious. I've done made everybody mad. I'm going to be walking out here and I say, hey, brother, yeah, whatever, right? No more lunches on Sunday. No more come over to my house. It's over now, buddy. Some of y'all need to look up. Look around. Seek God. Amen? Seek what He's wanting you to do. Because we're so... How can you not be conformed to the world? Notice I'm holding a phone in my hand right there. How can you not be conformed if you're connected 24/7, 365? Disconnect from the world every once in a while and just hook up with God. Some of y'all say, well, I ain't got time. My gosh, I hope we don't get to heaven and He run us a video of us on our phone or on our social media. You spent the equivalent of 6 years texting. And you were sitting there, we ain't got time, Lord. You spent this much time on social media and you wouldn't walk 5 feet down the street to somebody who needed your help. Golly, I promise when I was preparing this message, I promise you it wasn't this bad. But God's got a way of working on you and me. Because if you think this message is convicting you, it's convicting me too. I've got to eat it twice. Amen? Preparing it and eating it. Some of you cooks know what I'm talking about. Amen? Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. I love this, don't you? You know what he's telling us in the church? Stop thinking yourself better than everybody else. That's the problem. We think, some of y'all about tuned out on me right there. Don't tune out, tune in just for a minute on this. We think there's levels to God's love. We think if I make it 2 years and then God's got me on a 2-year plan, I'm above the one who just got in, you know, a month ago. Amen? And I've been in 10 years, so I'm 10 years and everybody else is on a tier system. Amen? That's not how God works at all. I hate to tell you that. Now, some of you just got in are going, yes. And then some of you been in it for about 50 years are going, wait, man, I don't like you. You don't know me. I set the footers in this building. I set the footers in that building. I did. Hey, we appreciate that. There ain't nobody appreciates you doing anything more than us that you serve God, but it does not make you better than. Whew. You know what it makes you to? It makes you a part of the body of Christ. Now listen, I want to change your gears on how you see it. When you see somebody walk in here, you see them get saved. You see them get baptized. You see them join the church. You see them get a part. You don't say, oh, I've been around. They're going to have to really learn. No, you know what you're saying? They're saying, man, here comes another part of the body that's going to help me. Amen? It's going to help me. Ultimately, it's going to help God. But we're going to be a better church because that joker who just walked in the door, they come in. Guess what? They got gifts, talents, and abilities that you ain't got. Oh, I can preach. I'm going to turn right into this. It's going to get hurt. It's going to hurt a little. All right? Look, the ones that come in here and ain't got gifts and talents and abilities like you, sometimes you can get kind of aggravated because if you're like me, I'm a mouthpiece. They might come in and they might be a heart or a liver. Amen? We like mouthpieces in the church, but I hate to tell you, a heart and a liver is a little bit more important than a mouth is. Whew. Somebody say amen. It's okay. Amen? If you go to the doctor and he says your heart's not working, you're going to have a serious issue. Your mouth's not working. Well, I can live with that. Amen? Oh, I could go, I ain't going to do it. I ain't going to do it. My wife's not here. I ain't going to do that. Amen? I ain't going to let y'all have that kind of blackmail on me. Amen? Because some of y'all seen where I was going with it, right? But can I preach a little bit to the side? Can I turn into something that's even a little more sick, a little bit weirder? If somebody comes in here and they got the same gifts and talents and abilities you do, make room for them. Hey, let them share some of the work. Encourage them. Love on them. Bless them. Share some of the work. Because there ain't nothing worse in the church when somebody comes in with the same gifts, talents, and abilities. You feel threatened. They're going to take my spot. They're going to take my job. They're going to run me out. Praise God, that ain't it at all. God said, hey, guess what? We're about to send a flood of more people in here. We don't need one of you. We need two of you. Three of you. Four of you. And four of you can do more than one of you can. Yeah. Don't say amen now. Wait 10 years and then say amen when it comes true. Amen? Because some of you right now are struggling with that right now. There's people coming in this church, you don't know where you fit in. You fit in exactly where you've always fit in. You're in the body of Christ. Keep working, keep doing, keep serving, and train the people that come alongside you and make them welcome. Look at them and go, thank God you're here. No, y'all don't get that. Thank God you're here. I'm tired of doing it all. Oh, can you do it? Can you do it? Can y'all get some of this? I want to show you some of the gifts. Is that cool? I promise I won't go too much longer after this. But I thought, wow, what kind of cool gifts are in here? Look at this. Proportion to faith, our ministry, let us wait in the ministering. Okay, verse 7, check this out. Our ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Oh gosh, that's a whole nother message. Could you wait on God just a little bit? Some of you anxious, wait on Him, but wait, after you wait, listen to this. For he that teacheth on teaching. Now that's easy. We got teachers and preachers, right? That's a no-brainer, right? Is that a no-brainer? Wish we had more of them, but guess what? That's an easy one, right? Check out this gift that we read about. This is pretty neat. Or he that exhorteth on the exhortation. Woo, verse 8, remember. Golly, bump, you mean there's a gift in the church for encouragement? God, I wished everybody had that gift. It's in there. God said there's a part in the body. You know what? Do you know why you go to church here? One reason you go. No, listen. I know some of you. Oh, I go to church here because I'm saved. Yeah. I go to church here because that's where I want to be. That's where my family is. Yeah. But one reason you come here is to be a blessing to other people. Amen? You're not just coming to church here to get a blessing. If you are, you're eating and you're not putting back in. Amen? You're getting, but you're not putting back in. People look forward to you being here. They should. You know why? You should have the gift of exhortation. You should encourage people. There ain't nothing. You don't know what kind of help you're going to be to somebody if you've got the gift of encouragement, the gift of exhortation to walk by somebody and say, I see you, man. I love you. I'm glad you're here. Man, I love you. I'm glad. Just keep coming back. You know why? Some people, they don't ever come back because nobody comes up to them and says, man, I'm glad you're here. Keep coming back. I'm proud of you. You're making some big strides. A kind word, man. Well, you know what? Too many times we talk about what we didn't like or what we don't see good instead of just going up to somebody and lifting somebody up. It's a gift in the body of Christ. If you got it, share it. Some of y'all, I'm telling you, I know this is one of the messages you're sitting there going, well, that ain't hellfire and brimstone, brother. I know, but that'll keep some people out of hell. If somebody that's struggling and keeps coming to church here, and you know they're struggling, if you walked up beside them and said, man, I'm glad you're here. I love you. Man, I'm glad one person loves me. I'll go back. Amen? It's just an encouraging word. It's so not happening in this world right now. There's so much negativity. There's so much polarization. There's so much this way or that way. It's amazing when somebody walks up and just says, man, you make my day when you show up. Y'all want to see a couple more? And I promise I'm almost done. I hate when preachers lie, don't you? Yeah, that's a whole other message. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do with simplicity. Wait a minute. He that giveth, that's a gift too? We need to learn how to give. Give. Man, a joyful giver. I mean, somebody who gives, just do it simply. Have it. You can have it. Yeah, take that. That's never. Better. We're borderline, ain't we? We're standing on the prefaces right now. There's that preacher again, about to preach on money. Man, do you know how much stuff we can do if you give to the Lord what you're supposed to give to Him? Do you know what we can do as a body of Christ if you just give your tithe to the Lord, if you just give your tithe, it ain't about what we get. It's about what we can do. We could put some places out of business. If you just gave your tithe, instead of saying, you need to go down and do, we could say, here. Here. We'll feed you. Here. Here's some clothes. Here's some shoes. Here's some food. Hey, we got this. Y'all won't believe this, but the church used to be Social Security. You're not believing me, but the church used to be the safety net of America. Y'all don't even believe this. Most churches started most hospitals. Today, I don't even know if we could do a little rescue tent. We'd worry about why and how and what if we get some on us. The church needs to learn how to give again. Just to give. And not sit there and think, well, what are they going to do with it? Well, if you belong to this church and you know what we're trying to do and you know where we're going as a church, then you should feel free to give here. Simply just give. If you don't, go somewhere where you do. Oh, never mind. That scares everybody to death when the preacher sounds like he's trying to run people off. I can't run some of you off. It's like Constantine wire and booby traps and claymore mines and everything. You still try to keep coming back in. Some of y'all are glutton for punishment. Let's finish. Let's get just one more, I think. Look at this. He that ruleth with diligence. Wait a minute. Managing type people in the church? God needs every one of your talents, gifts, and abilities. And none of them are not important to God. We need you in the church. We need your gift sets. We need people that knows how to run things. And you know what? I'm not afraid of ideas. And this church shouldn't be afraid of ideas. Hey, I got something on my mind. This thing's burdening me. I think we need to try this. You know what we're going to do? We're going to pray about it. Then we're going to try it. And if we fail, we'll fail and say we won't do that again. If we succeed, guess what? Hey, let's do it better the next time. You say, man, you've got a big old vision for this church. It's just a little country church. I tell you, I hate to rip this off and this Band-Aid in front of everybody. I didn't come here to pastor a little country church. I came here for a little country church that can touch the whole world. I want to reach the whole world. I got big dreams and big aspirations. I don't believe God sent me anywhere to do something small. I want people to drive up here on this mountain and go, they did that from there? Yes, they did. Yes, they did. They shook the world from that little place. Listen, 120 people in the upper room started the New Testament church. We almost got that here right now. All we got to do is get one mind, one accord, get the body to fit jointly together and think, you know what? Whatever God tells us to do, that we're going to do, and we're going to lean into it. Somebody told me this before. We're going to put one foot in front of the other foot. I think it was Linda this morning. Yeah, and guess what? We're going to die putting one foot in front of the other foot, and when we die, praise God, we will fall down forward, and hopefully somebody will pick our carcass up, put it in the ground, and pick up what we were doing, and go one foot in front of the other. Melvin helped build this church and that church. What church are we going to build, and what church will we leave here? I want to hand something off to my son, my youth, my people, and say, here, we got it as good as we received it, if not better. There are some men in here that are thinking like that. There are some women in here thinking like that. We shouldn't think too highly of ourselves, but we should think we are a body of Christ. Why not us? And why not now? Amen? Let's all stand as they come get a song of invitation. Hey, buddy.